V'alkein ikra kaddish l'shabeach ul'roimem. This is why the main purpose of kaddish is to praise and to exalt Hashem. Bechinas shem yud kei. The Arizal says yiskadal v'yiskadash shemei rabo. That shemei, even though it's written shin mem hei in some sidurim, the hei is a mapik hei. It's as if it would be shem yud kei. We want to elevate and heighten Hashem's name yud kei. Bechinas yiskadal v'yiskadash shemei rabo kemuva, as is written in the writings of the Arizal. That the main thing we're trying to heighten is the letters Yud and K of Hashem's name. Yiskadal v'yishkadash Shem Yud K. May the name of Hashem Yud K be heightened. Kizeh ikra tikkun. Because Rabbeinu Zal explains in that chapter in Likud Imran that the main tikkun is al yidei shemerimim hamoichin, where the person elevates his brain. And we know that the brain is represented by the letters Yud K of Yud K Vav K. The Yud stands for Chachma, and the hay stands for Bina. The Vovke stands for the lower parts of the body, the six, the two hands, the trunk of the body, the two legs, the bris, etc. But Yud Hay represents the brain power. The Bechinas, as Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk in that chapter, Kenesher Yo'ir Kinoi, as the eagle awakens his nest. Sheheim Bechinas Ko Kemuva. It's brought that this Kinoi, it refers to Hashem's name Yud Kei, because the pasuk says in Mishle, Kenei Chochma, Kenei Bina. Acquire Chochma, acquire Bina. So this term Kinoi, his nest, is referring to the Moichin, the brain. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there that the Nesher represents Ruach, the four Chayos of the Merkava. Aryeh, Shoer, Nesher, Odom, the four images on the throne of Hashem, correspond to Eish, Mayim, Ruach, Ofor. Ruach is represented by the Nesher. Ruach corresponds to Nesher. And Ruach is the concept of Tikkun HaBris. The Tzaddik is called Ish Asher Ruach Boy, the one who has his Ruach solid. The Ruach in him is proper. So Rabbeinu Zal says over there in this chapter in the Likud Imran that Kenesher, the extent of the Tikkun HaRuach, the Tikkun HaBris of the person, is what awakens the Kinoi, the Moichin of the person. What turns a person's brain on or off, or what makes it more powerful or less powerful? The level of Tikkun HaBris. U'kemashikosov Rabbeinu Nera Yor, Simen Lamed Vov. As Rabbeinu Zal writes in Torah Lamed Vov, Al Posuk, Shiftei Ko Eidus LiYisrael. The Shvotim are called Shivtei Ko, and they are testimony to the Jewish people. Because the Gemara says, when were they given that name Ko, Yud Kei? After the incident with Bilam, where Bilam tried to get them to marry non-Jewish women. And I might think that the Jews became defiled completely, that the Jewish nation became defiled just like the Goyim. So right after that, when Hashem lists their names in Parshas Pinchas, he calls them Shevet Hora Uveni, Hashimoini, etc. Putting a hey in front and a yud in back of their name. Putting the letters yud k on their name represent Tikkun HaBris. Show that they didn't fail the test. The Jews retained their purity. These letters yud k, which refer to Chochma and Bina, which refer to the brain, are the reflection of the Tikkun HaBris of the person. To the extent that he maintains Tikkun HaBris, his Moichin are Bishleimus. V'zeh b'chinas v'yiskadash. And the next word in Kaddish is v'yiskadash shekavonosoi tikkun shakai. K'moy shekoso b'kavonos. The word v'yiskadash is made up of two parts, the Arizal says. It has shin dalet yud, plus the remaining letters, tof kuf, are the milui of shakai. When you write Hashem's name shakai in full, each letter as a word, shin is spelled shin yud nun. The milui is 60. Dalet, The milui is Dalet Lamed Tov. Lamed Tov is 430, gives you 490. And Yud, Yud Vov Dalet, the milui, the Vov Dalet is 10, gives you a total of 500. So the word V'yiskadash is Tov Kuf Shakai. Rav Moshe Zal says, Shekavonosoi Tikkun Shakai, Kemoshikosu Bekavonos, Hainu Bechinas Tikkun HaKloli, Shehu Bechinas Shakai. We've mentioned many times that the concept of Tikkun HaBris is associated with Hashem's name Shin Dalad Yud, Al Shem Sheshodi VeYoyre Kecheitz Tikkunen LeChol HaMekoymois HaDakim VaTzorim Kemo Shekosov Shom Ein Shom. Rabbein Zal says in this chapter of Likut Imran Toiro Choftes that the reason why the name Shakai is associated with Tikkun HaBris, we see it in a pasuk in Chumash, Ani Kel Shakai Prei Urevei. The mitzvah Pru Revu is associated with the name Shin Dalad Yud. But Rabbein Zal explains why. Shodi means to shoot, because the Bris Kodesh shoots Tikkunim to all other 365 organs of the body, the Shesa Gidin, not organs, the tendons. That's the Tikkun HaKloli, which by making a Tikkun for that, it automatically shoots Tikkunim into all other places in the system, Kaviyachon. Vezehu Yisgadal, Kyal Yidei Habonim, Shemoylidin Yisroel, through the children that Yidin have, Al Yidei Zeh Nisrache V'Nisgadel Gevul HaKidusha, the boundary of Kiddusha becomes expanded, enlarged. Because the Jewish souls, their origin, their place of origin is a very high place. Ushmoi mishutof bishmenu, and Kaviyochel Hashem places His name upon us. We are called Shiftei Ko. The tribes, they have Hashem's name upon them. V'chol ma shenitvasvin v'nisrabin Yisroel. And the more that the Jewish population increases, Nizgadel Gvul HaKidusha, the boundary of Kedusha expands, V'Nizgadel Shmoi Kaviyochel Mamish, and Kaviyochel Hashem's name becomes heightened also, enlarged, Kishmoi B'Shutof B'Shmeinu, because Hashem's name is associated with us. So the more we grow, the more Kaviyochel Hashem grows. V'Alkein Habonim Shehoilet B'Yisroel Heim Oimrim Yisgadal V'Yisgadal Shmei Rabo. That's why the children, the Jewish children that a person brings into this world, they are the ones who say V'Yisgadal V'Yisgadal Shmei Rabo. Ki Heim Bechinas Hagdolas Shmoi Kaviyochel Kanal. Because their physical being represents Hashem's name being enlarged. They're the ones where it's most appropriate for them to say Yiskadal Viskada Shmei Rabo. Vaideze Biatzmoi Heim Bechinas Tikkun HaKloli. And that's what makes them serve as the Tikkun HaKloli. Meachar Sha'al Yodom Niskadal Viniskadesh Shmoi Vinisrachiv Gula Kedusha Kanal. Once we understand that by bringing children into the world, the person expands the boundary of Kedusha and heightens Hashem's Kovoid, that's Tikkun HaKloli. That's the ultimate Tikkun, and that's the general Tikkun. V'alkein habonim oimrim kaddish bebchinas Tikkun HaKloli kanal. That's why the children are the ones to say kaddish, which is the concept of Tikkun HaKloli, as we mentioned earlier.
Ever a question that comes up as to whether the children are...
That question is coming in about six lines. The next paragraph is going to begin with the difference between son and daughter, how that relates exactly to this. V'alkein nistakein hakadish beloshen targum. Rav Nochman Zal explains now, this is also the reason why the kaddish is said specifically in Aramaic. V'gam yesh boi loshna kodesh, and it has some loshna kodesh in it also. Hainu bechinas shleimus loshna kodesh al yidei loshen targum. Rabbein Zal explains in Tori Yud Tes and Likut Imran in the first half that loshen kodesh represents kedusha. But the Kedusha is not complete, just like Klal Yisrael is not complete without the Geirim and Balei Tshuva coming to join them. So too, Loshon HaKodesh is not considered complete unless it's able to take that portion from the other 70 languages that can be brought into the Kedusha and include that in the Kedusha. That's the concept of Shnayim Mikra Vecho Targum, which we say B'Dafka on Friday. Just as on Friday is the time when Klipas Noiga is Nichval in the Kedusha, so too the language of Aramaic, which is sort of an in-between, it's like Noiga, it's like Loshon Kodesh, and it's like the languages of the Goyim, it's something in the middle, is able to be brought into the Kedusha then also. And Rabbi Nizal says that that represents the shleimus of Lashon Kodesh is Haidei Lashon Targum, Shu Bechinas Tikkun HaBris, Bechinas Tikkun HaKloli, Kama Shekosuv Rabbeinu B'Mokom Acher. As Rabbi Nizal writes in that Torah Yud Tes, that's the concept where Hashem created Chava. It says, Vayapel Elokim Tardemo Al Odom, Hashem put a deep sleep on Adam Arishon. Darizal says the word Tardemo is Bigimatria Targum. That deep sleep during which Hashem created Chava from Adam, and Chava is called Isha, is called Loshen Noifel Aloshen. Rabbi Nizal gives a whole explanation in Torah Yud Tes and the Kodemaran showing how Targum, and together with Loshen Kodesh, represents a Shleimus of Tikkun HaBris. Vizehu, so that's why again, that's why the children who represent Tikkun HaKloli, saying Kaddish, which represents Tikkun HaKloli, say it bedavka as a combination of Aramaic plus Hebrew. Vizehu biatzmoy bechinas Tikkun HaBigodim Levenim. This is also the concept of preparing the white clothes that we spoke about earlier. That the concept of a person who has purity in Tikkun HaBris is one who has no stains on their garment, no stains of Pigam HaBris. Shehim Bechinas Dam Nekar Venase Cholov. The white clothing symbolizes the process of purification where blood gets converted to milk. When a woman is pregnant, there's a tremendous hiskabrus of din, super din. That's all the blood that's gathering inside of her. As soon as she gives birth, where the white, the blood, the red converts to white, the milk, that represents a hamtoka sadinim, and that represents a concept of Tikkun HaBris. On Shavuos night, when we stay up all night, and we have no relations at that time, we drink weed, macholei cholov bedavka. Shavuos represents a concept of Tikkun HaBris. Rabbi Nizal speaks about the three Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Pesach is a tikkun for Taivas Momoim. Sukkos is a tikkun for Taivas Achila. Shavuos is the union of Tikkun HaBris. This Dam Nekar V'Nase Cholov. It's eliminating the blood. Blood represents Dam Nida, impurity in a sense, typically, and converting it to white, which represents purity. V'zehu Bechinas Targum. This is the concept of Targum, the Hainu, Shenizbarer V'Oile HaToiv Eloshna Kodesh. Through the process of attaching Targum with Hebrew, the good of the languages of the Goyim enters into the Kedusha, the Hora Noifel, whereas the bad is discarded. Shehu Bechinas Dam Nekar, this is the concept of the blood spoiling, in a sense, the Noifel Hapsoilis, the waste falls away, the Hatoiv Oile Venizbare Venase Cholov, and it's only the good portion of the blood that gets converted, that gets a certain tikkun and gets converted to milk. Kemuva, as is brought in the Sifrei Kabbalah. Ki ikar halavushin bebechinas targum, shehu bechinas chashmal, bechinas kosmos oir, kemuva. Because Rabbi Nizal says, when we talk about begodim, the concept of begodim is a concept of malbush. Malbush means clothing. Malbush is bigimatria chashmal. The word chashmal, the Arizal says, is bigimatria malbush, and that's related to the concept of targum, which is this klipas noiga, in a sense. It's this something that's good and bad mixed together. Just like the kosmos oir, when Hashem, there's oir with an aleph, which represents light, which is all good. Then there's the clothing of oir, which Hashem gave Adam and Chava, which was made from leather or from nail. It's brought tzipoirin, from fingernail, which is something that's a combination of good and bad, in a sense. There's toiv ora mixed together. That's this klipas noiga.
What's chashmal?
Excuse me? Chashmal is a term referring to a heavenly light. And chashmal is bigimatria malbush, because the clothing also represent a certain type of light. Even though on one hand they cover the light, supposedly, but they themselves also represent a certain level of light. And Rav Nosson Zal saying that the clothing represent this targum, which is sort of good and bad mixed together.
Is that the chedor?
Yes. It says, after the eighth meitzadas, that's when Hashem dressed them in this kosmos oir. I once heard from Rav Rosenthal, Zohar Avrocha, the Eitz Hadas was called Toiv Vora, good and bad mixed together. The whole problem with the Eitz Hadas was that the good and bad were not set. Bad is okay when it's identifiable, when it's clearly marked. When good and bad are mixed together, that's when you run into serious trouble. That concept of a mixture is called Eruv. Ayin Yud Resh Vav Beis means a mixture in Hebrew. The word Eruv is actually Ayin Beis, Resh Yud Vav. It's made up of two sets of letters. Ayin Beis is Bigimatria Chesed, Resh Yud Vav is Bigimatria Gvura, exactly. So that the Hebrew word mixture implies these two opposites, kindness and harshness being mixed together. He said that the word Eruv is also the Oisiyos Oyer B. Ayin Vav Resh in me. Oyer refers to this concept of the skin, the nail. The tzipoyrin is called oyer. There's a machloikus in the medrash with what the clothing was made from, the clothing of Adam and Chava. That as a result of eating from Eitz Hadas, they forfeited kosnos oyer with an aleph. They lost out on having begotam of pure light, and they receive instead kosnos oyer with an ayin, which is a much watered down version of the light. Oisei, v'alkein ben koidem lebas. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, this is why we understand how when it comes to inheritance, which is our topic here, the son comes before the daughter. Ki ikar tikkun hakloli heim habonim kanal. Because the main concept of tikkun hakloli, which is what children is all about, we said that bringing a child into the world religiously, in other words, through a kosher marriage, and where the woman goes to the mikveh, where all the laws of the Torah are followed, that's the concept of tikkun hakloli. The child itself is tikkun hakloli. So Rav Nosson Zal says here that the ikar tikkun hakloli is the bonim, the children. V'alkein, specifically the sons. V'alkein, bishas, leido, at the time that the mother is giving birth, dam nekar v'nasecholov. That's when this process takes place of blood being converted to milk. Shubachinas tikkun hakloli, which symbolizes purification. Red is always bad. Red is esav. Red is tuma. And the red being converted to white represents super tikkun. Bibechinas begodim levenim, kama shekosav sham. As Rabbeinu Zal speaks over there about begodim levonim, the white clothing symbolizing tikkun hakloli, tikkun habris. We said yesterday the white kittel that we wear on Yom Kippur, signifying that that's a day where a husband abstains from his wife. That's one of the main tikkunim of Yom Kippur. Ach ikar hatikun nimshach daiko al yedei bechinas hecho demidlimino. However, the main tikkun is related to the place from which it's separated from. We mentioned that this Toyon Nekotimam Choftes is based on a story in the Gemara, where the Gemara says that the Rabbi Shuvan Chananya encountered the Soved Ve'atuna, and they tried. They said to him, why is it that a person who's rejected in one place goes to a higher source to look for their mate? A person finds they're rejected in one place, and they go to a higher source. So he gave them an example. He tried knocking in a peg in a lower place in a wall, where it wasn't hollow, where the wall was solid, and the nail couldn't go in there. Then he lifted the nail up higher where it was hollow, knocked it in, and it went in no problem. So it says over there that that the ikar tikkun is hecho demidlimine, the place where he left. Dahainu bechinas tzadik, bechinas tikkun klolius hagidin, shul bechinas kenesher yoyer kinoi, nishroi darucha, kamay shekosov sham. Rav Nosson Zal quoting short what Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in that chapter in the Kutimran, that these words in the Gemara, the Hecha de Midlamine, refer to the Tzaddik. V'alkein b'mokoim sheyesh ben hu koidim. Therefore, in a situation where a father has a son, the son comes before the daughters regarding inheritance. Ki hu tikkun godoil ma'oid. Because a son represents a major, major tikkun. Ki hu Kihu gamhu yeshloi koyach lesakin yoiser, because the son has the ability to make a much greater degree of tikkun. Kize hatikkun srichen lasois bechol dor vador ad bias mashiachenu b'meir b'yameinu, because we've mentioned earlier that this tikkun, the tikkun of the world and tikkun abris, all of these tikkunim can't be done in one shot. It must be done through generations and generations, each generation adding its piece to the puzzle, to the tikkun. So Rav Nosson Zal says here, this tikkun has to be made in every generation until Bias Mashiach. What tikkun? L'lapein, to whiten, ulevarer, and to fix up haksamim, the stains. Shu bechinas tikkun chet Odom Rishon kanal, referring to the tikkun of the pigam of Odom Rishon. Symbol of tzaddik. V'haben shehu bebechinas tzaddik, shehu bebechinas nishro dorucho, ki amech kulam tzaddikim. Rav Nosson Zal says here, the sun symbolizes the tzaddik, which is the concept of the eagle, which is synonymous with the ruach, which Rabbein Zal said in that chapter in the Kutimran. Why? Because the Gemara makes a statement, amech kulam tzaddikim, that all, every yid is considered a tzaddik. Every yid that has a bris milah is considered a tzaddik. That act makes them a tzaddik. And that applies to men, to boys, not to girls. Ki amech kulam tzadikim, v'al kein yesh loy koyach lahamshich lavnunis v'tikunim yoyser v'yoyser. That's why the sun is the one who has the ability to draw this whiteness and this tikkun to a greater degree. Because Rabbeinu Zal said in that chapter in the Qumran that it's the tzadik that has the ability to make this tikkun more. So when we're dealing with a boy and a girl, if the boy is closer to the concept of tzaddik normally, based on the bris milah, then it's understood that he has the ability to make these tikkunim usually much more so than a girl. Al kein hu tikkun godoil lo'oviv mo'oid. Therefore, the son is a tremendous, tremendous tikkun for the father. Just having a son, especially if the son is zocheh to go on the Jewish derech, it's a tremendous, tremendous tikkun for the father. V'alkein shayach loy levadoi kol hayirusha. Therefore, the inheritance is most normally all associated with him, all associated with his son.
It's especially true if the father's not religious and the son not just Jewish.
Even more so, exactly. Exactly. Kiha. Exactly that. Ki ha-yerusha shayech rak lemi sheyesh loy koyach lesakein yoiser bechinas begodem levonim kanal. Because we explained earlier that the concept of inheritance relates to the one who has the ability to affect it. The most important tikkun that a Jew is in the world for is tikkun akloli. He can't finish it himself. That's why each Jew is supposed to bring children into the world to perpetuate, to continue the tikkun after his leaving. Therefore, if this is the most important objective, those children which are shayach most to continuing this tikkun, it's logical that the Arusha, the possessions, are most appropriate put in their hands. It belongs most to them, since they're the ones who are going to... If a child is not going to be involved in this tikkun, they don't need those tools. They don't need that money and wealth anywhere near as much as the ones that are going to continue this tikkun. Avol habas... Ein lo koyach lesaken yoiser, whereas the daughter does not have the ability to extend and continue the tikkun of her father. Ki ikra tikkun al yedei bechinas heichad midlimino kanal, because the main tikkun is based on where the person comes from in a sense. Adarabba, ikra pigam shel bechinas haksomim shel abegodim noigea bo shehi bechinas malchus kemuvasham. Based on what Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in that chapter in the Kutimran, the main reflection of the Pegama Bris is reflected in the daughter, whereas the main reflection of the Tikkun Bris is reflected in the son. I'm just going to quote a small piece from where Rabbeinu Zal explains the Gemara in that story. He says, the Gemara says, a person who goes seeking a wife, and they don't give it to him on a certain level, why does he go to a higher level seeking the wife there? Watch how Rabbeinu Zal explains this. Just a few lines. This itza, he's seeking the woman, hainu bechinas isho yiras Hashem, which means he's seeking out the Shechina, just like in the first story, Sipuri Maisius, the Maisa me'avedas basmelech, and he's searching for that lost princess. Hainu, mi shepogam ba'avoinois. A Jew, Rabbeinu Zal explains, a Jew who committed sins, the goram dam nido l'shchina kanal, and he caused blood of nida for the shchina. Which means, what happens when a woman is nida? The word nida that the Zohar Kodesh says is nod hey. The letter hey of Hashem's name yud kei vav kei, the last hey, represents the shchina. Just like when a wife becomes nida, she becomes separated from her husband, she's forced to move away from her husband, so too kaviyochel. When we, through our sins, cause dam nida to the shchina becomes separated kaviyochel from her husband, from the yud kei vav. When a person does tshuva, what is tshuva? Toshuv hei. To return the hei, to bring the hei back, to bring the shchina back to kaviyochel, her husband. So Rabbi Nizal says, a person who does this and causes this and creates a pirud between Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Shechina, v'zehu v'loi koyovile, and they don't give him, he doesn't get what he needs. Why does he go to something that's higher than that? Which means, being poigim in the Shechina means being poigim in Malchus. The Shechina is always compared to the Malchus of Hashem, the last hay of Yudke Vovke. So Rabbi Nizal asks, why did we say before that the tikkun for that is tikkun akloli, that you have to go up to Yisoy, to the bris, and make the tikkun over there? Hainu, kisheroitze letaher es hamalchus me'adamim, when he wants to purify the Shechina from this bad blood, hu hoylech el hamadrega yoyser el yoyna. We've told him earlier that he's got to go to the next floor, to the upper floor, which is hainu tikkun akloli shehu lamala mi isha yiras Hashem. Tikkun akloli is above the malchus. That's yisoid. Bechinas tzadik moishel biyiras elikim. The tzadik, which is the sphere of yisoid, is over yiras elikim, which is the shechina, which is the malchus. So why does he do that? So Rav Nosson Zal is showing, based on this, that we see that the concept of tikkun akloli is an inyan of yisoid, tikkun abris, it's which is shayach to tzaddik, which is shayach to the son, not to the daughter. Avul habas, we said ain lo koyach l'sakin yoser ki ikra tikkun al yidei b'chinas hecha de midli mino, because the main tikkun is in the level above, which is the level of yisoid. Adaraba ikra hapigam shel b'chinas haksomim shel abegodim noigei abo shi b'chinas malchus kemuvan. On the contrary, the sins, the pigama bris, is reflected in the malchus, in the dam shechina, in the daughter, whereas the tikkana bris is affected in the sphere of yisoid, in the son. Kemuvan sham, as is explained in that chapter on Likutei Maran. Interesting, again, in the story of the Maisa Me'avedas Bas Melach, where the princess is lost, and the Sheni Lamelech, who represents the tzaddik, 99% of the story is about him. You would say, if she got lost, the story should be all about her, what she does to get out. And the answer is, on the contrary, based on what we're seeing here, the pigam is reflected in her, in the Shechina, in the Malchus, that the Malchus's nida is forced to wander. The tikkun is totally in the tzaddik. The tzaddik who is bechinas yisoid, who is bechinas tikkun akloli, he's the one. 99% of the responsibility of making the whole correction is dependent on him. Just as when you read that story, you see the whole story revolves around everything that he had to do and everything he went through to bring her out. You would say she got lost, she should get herself back in, and yet that's not the way it works. V'alkein he atzmo tzricha tikkun. This is why the woman, she herself requires tikkun. Not only isn't she the one who's making tikkunim, she needs fixing tikkun. Ki ho isha chasera tikkun, because the woman is lacking in tikkun. V'tikkuna rak kishenises, her tikkun is only through her getting married. Al yidei balosh, through her husband, shehu mesakno, he's the one who fixes her. Bebechinas tikkun abegodim kanal, which is the tikkun of the clothing. Shehat tikkun anal hu lebechinas so isha kemuvan. That tikkun of the clothing relates to the woman, the concept of dressing the shechina kaviyochol. V'alkein kol nachaloso vashiruso shayach lebalo. That's why the law is that any inheritance that a woman inherits goes to the son-in-law, goes to her husband. Ki hu mesakno kanal. He's the one who's responsible to be misaking her. She's not the one making tikkunim. She's the one who's feeling the problems the most. V'alkein ein lo bimkoim ben klum. This is why a daughter in place of a son gets nothing. When there's a son present and a daughter, the daughter gets nothing. Ki hu koidem lo bevadai. Because the son is way before her. Ki hu tikkun godol b'yoser. The son is much more involved in this tikkun. Me'achar she'yesh lo koyach l'sakin yoser kanal. Because he has the ability to continue from where his father left off in making this tikkun of tikkun akloli. Avol he, whereas the daughter, adarabba, just the opposite, tzrichot tikkun kanal, she needs help. Not only isn't she in a position to help, she needs help. V'alkein, he ma'averes hanachlo. Therefore, she passes on the inheritance. Ki tzricho lehavir hanachlo lebalo, she has to pass on the inheritance to her husband, ki hu misakno kanal. Her husband is the one who makes the tikkun for her. V'zeh sham razal, this is why the Gemara says, kol she'enoi meniach ben liyorshoi. If a person is not privileged to leave behind a son to inherit him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mismalei olov evro. Hashem is filled with anger towards that person. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vaha'avartem esnach losoi labitoi. You will pass on the what should have been the son's share to your daughter. The wording for pass on is Vaha'avartem, implying that when Hashem sees that daddy doesn't have a son to leave it over to, and he has to pass it on to the daughter, it results in evro hashon. That brings out an anger in Hashem. Excuse me? Big tzaddikim, of course. The answer is that there are several reasons why that could be. We mentioned once in the past that the Arizal gives an example of Ben Azai, who was one of the greatest tzaddikim during the time of the Gemara. And the Arizal says that this that we find that according to some opinions he never got married, or according to some opinions there was kiddushin, he didn't consummate the marriage with Rabbi Akiva's daughter, is because he had already completed that tikkun in a previous Gilgul. That possibility exists. You can't judge and assume, chas v'shalom, that it implies something bad about a person in any way. But a person that we know from our side, because we don't know Gilgulim and things like that, we have to do every iota of hishtadlus that we can to see to it to complete all the mitzvahs. But a Jew should know that sometimes, if it comes up in life that a certain mitzvah he's not given the opportunity to do at all whatsoever, sometimes the implication could be that he doesn't need that mitzvah in this Gilgul. He completed that mitzvah already. He's here to complete other things.
So, Dan Chaschus, that he had already completed this tikkun of mitzvah in the previous Gilgul.
Hopefully.
It's hard to understand that Hashem can be angry with the man. Because Hashem is part of the creating the child.
Exactly. Let's see how he's going to explain. Let's see what he's going to say. This is what he's touching on right now. Gam dorshin mize loshen ha'avoras nachlo. Al shem shehi ma'avira nachlo lebalo. And we find also that the Gemara says that this v'ha'avartem, where is it? Where's the pasuk? V'ha'avartem esnachlos elabito is also from Lushan passing on, because it doesn't remain by his daughter. She simply is a conduit from by the father passing it to the daughter. She's like a playing hot potato. She grabs it and passes it right to her husband immediately. It just goes through her. It passes through her to her husband. Rav Nosson Zal says, Kiho boho talio. The both interpretations are very much attached to each other. Because the daughter can't participate in this tikkun akloli, because all she can do is serve as a passing through location, that the nachla just passes right through her to her husband, that's why kabiochel it's mentioned in the form of anger of Hashem, meaning, ki kol mi she'enoi meniach ben liyorshoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moleh Olav Evro, when we say that any person that doesn't leave a son to inherit him, Kaviyochel Hashem becomes angry, Hainu Kas, Shehu Bechinas Hisgabrus Hadamim. When we talk about anger, anger is synonymous with blood. Esav was no, in other words, Koved Koyes, the Gemara says. The anger, each one of the characteristics of a person are related to different parts of the body. The Gemara says that the liver represents Kas. Why? Because Koved Mole Dam. The liver is one big blob of blood. Blood is Din. Blood, red, Esav, Edoim, Kas, Ritzicha, all in one big package, right? One package deal. So here he's saying, Bechinas Koved Koyes, Shehu Mole Dam. As we say, the liver is the source of the Kas in the person, because the liver is wall-to-wall blood. And this person, through the fact that he didn't leave a son behind, the son who is the one who is in a position to participate in the tikkun akloli, which is the tikkun for the blood, the alkane mis oirer bechinas kas shehu meis gabrus hadamim kanal. If we're told that there's always these two things present, there's always the red and the white, there's always the din and the chesed, and if we say that when a son is born, a son is bechinas chesed, son is bechinas tikkun akloli, whereas daughter is bechinas din, women ishas bechina is the left side, she represents the left side din, then the assumption is, if he didn't leave a son, then he left red. Then he left the redness. That's what it doesn't mean that Hashem literally gets angry at him. It implies that by not leaving a son, you can assume that there's Evra there. You can assume that the blood is there, the redness is there. Because the red is reflected in the female. The dam nida is reflected in the wife, not in the husband, right? She's the one. You have men and women. How come she's the... What kind of business? He's Tor and she's Tummy? Yes. The Tumah is reflected in her. The Tumah of what? The Tumah of both, of the husband and wife. Because husband and wife are one neshama in a sense, right? And yet, the Tumah is reflected on her. She's the one who sees the blood and the stains and goes to the mikveh and this and that. And the Tara, the purification, comes from him. The ability, giving her the ability to have children, that comes from the husband. The zera, the whiteness, comes from him. He's the one who shoots the whiteness, and that that's this removal of the kas that causes her red to turn to white. That causes the blood to become milk. That's the point that he's saying here. Let's just finish the paragraph. V'zeh lomdu mi posuk v'ha'avartem esnachlosei labitoi. And the Gemara learns both of these things, both laws are learned from the same posuk, that if a father has no son, he passes, it doesn't say he gives, it could have said v'nosan nachlosei labitoi. It doesn't say that. It uses v'avartem, he passes the nachla to the daughter because she's simply a way station. It passes through her straight to her husband, to the son-in-law. That's one thing the Gemara learned out. And also, Loshen Evra Kanal, a Loshen of Kas. Evra means anger. Ki habas eino yecholah lasakein kol kach kanal. Because the daughter can't really do that much to participate in the tikkun. Vizeh al yidei shehi tzricho lahavir nachla labala. That's because she's got to pass on the nachla to her husband. Ki eino yecholah lasakein rak al yidei baila kanal. Her tikkun is not from daddy. She's not a hamshoch of daddy's tikkun. Her tikkun is through her husband. Nimtzo shalidei bechinas v'ha'avartem. Dehainu shehu ma'avir nachlo kanal. Therefore, whenever this has to happen, when a father doesn't have sons, and therefore is forced to pass the nachla to the daughter, aydei ze bi'atzmoy mizgaber bechinas hakas. That strengthens the other, the left side, the side of anger. Bechinas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moleh Olav Evra, meaning the concept of Hashem being full of anger towards him. Ki loy nistaknu hadamim kanal. Because the fact that he had a daughter, not a son, means the blood was not nistakim. meaning the part of the father's tikkun, which having a son could have been misaken, by having a daughter, she can't make that tikkun for the father. Ki ikra tikkun al yidei ben shehu bebechinas hecha de midli mino. Because the main tikkun here is not from the malchus, but from the yisoid. It's not from the daughter, it's from the son. This is a tremendous chiddush. I know that the Gemara says bas tchila simin yofa labonim, that if a person has a daughter first, it's a very good omen for the sons, because it serves as a protection from ayin hara. Number one, they can't be affected by ayin hara anymore. Number one, and number two, the Zohar Kodesh says on the word bereishis bara elikim. Zohar Kodesh says that in the word bereishis, the letter beis is, you say it like bas. The Zohar Kodesh says bas reishis. If the first one is a daughter, bro elikim, then the sons will be heavenly. That's the way the Zohar Kodesh interprets it, meaning they'll have this heavenly protection. So obviously there is a certain mila to that, and yet we find throughout the Torah that whenever they pray for a woman who can't have children, the prayer should be zechut to a son. And we talk about the bechor, the major tikkun of a bechor. There's benefits to both. There are certain pluses in both. But here, Rav Nosson Zal is highlighting that the hamshacha of the tikkun of the father comes through the son, it seems. The daughters, they're not the ones that are involved in making the tikkun. It's their husbands that are going to make the tikkun, not them. Whereas the birth of sons, the sons are the ones who take an active role in continuing the tikkun that the father's been doing.
The Or Chaim brings up a Chavo. Says when Adam was put into deep sleep and Chavo was created, the Baruch Hashem didn't give her das to him. He didn't give her das like Adam HaRishon had. So she went to the Eitz Das. She went to the tree. She was easily convinced to eat the tree. Adam wasn't so convinced the first time. After he ate, when they had a child, the first son was Cain. All the Tame
went
to him. This is Or HaChaim. And all the Kedusha went to Chavo.
Into Hevel, you mean. Exactly. Similar concept, where first they let the bad come out, so that the good that's supposed to come is freed from that bad. V'chein machmazeh mishpacha so'ov kruya mishpacha. Avo mishpacha so'eim eino kruya mishpacha. This is why also, according to the Torah, the father's family is called the mishpacha. Person asks, what family do you come from? You don't say, I come from this and this. You come from the father's side. And that's the name, that's the family name. Whereas the mother's side is not called the family as far as the Torah is concerned. Ki ein yorshim rak mitzad ha'ov. Because the inheritance is passed from the father's side, from the male side it's passed down. Shehu sitra d'dchura. He represents the side of Zohar, that side of Chesed in a sense. Sheyesh lahem koyach l'sakein. They are the ones who have the ability to participate in this tikkun. Bebechinas hecha demidli mina. That's the upper side. Below you can't make the tikkun. You can only make it on top. In Malchus itself you can't make the tikkun. The tikkun has to come from Tzadik Yisoy. Avo mishpacha so'eim ein lahem koyach l'sakein kanal. V'alkein ein yorshim klal yoylam. Therefore from the mother's side they do not inherit at all. Children that are only from the mother's side, not from the father's side. Aval habas yoyreshes b'mokim she'ein bein. In a situation where a daughter is born to two parents, if there's no son, the daughter does inherit. Vehi koydemes lechol shara yorshim. She comes before his brothers or his parents. If a father passes away, a father who had a daughter, the daughter gets before the father's brothers or sisters or before the father's parents. Why? Ki legabi oviho he gam kein bechinas tikna kloli me'achar shehiniach zera bo'olam v'ovid toilodin. Because relative to her father, she is also considered to a certain degree a concept of tikna kloli by the mere fact that he was zecha to leave children in the world, even a daughter. Ki gam b'shas leidas habas hadam nekar v'nasa cholov. Because we see that it's not only when a male child is born that the milk, you know, that the mother's blood turns to milk. Even when a daughter is born, the mother nurses her. Which means that even when a daughter is born, on a certain level, There is this hamtoko, there is this red turning to white. Alidei b'chinas kenesher yo'ir kinoi. As Rabbeinu Zal explains in that chapter in the Kutei Moran, that the nesher, which represents Tikkun Abris, awakens the kinoi, which is the chochman bina, which is the brain from which the white, from which the zera comes down, from which that whiteness comes down. Shalidei zeh noyldo. That's how the daughter was born. Vazai dam nekar v'nasecholav. So we see that process happens also when a daughter is born. Rak shehaben koidim. However, naturally a son comes first. Kihu tikkun yoiser. He is much more so the tikkun. Me'achra sheyesh lo koyach l'sakin yoiser. Because he has the ability to continue the tikkun, whereas she doesn't. She has to wait till she gets married. When she gets married and joins her husband, together her husband will help her participate in this tikkun. Avul kisheloi niach zera legamri. But if a person isn't zoicha to leave children at all, vazai hu pogum legamri, that represents a complete defect in a sense. V'nishmosei artoloi chasishom, implying that there's no clothing, the neshama is without clothes at all, azai ein yecholim lesaknoi rak mishpachas ha'av. Then the only side of his family that can make a tikkun for him is his father's side. In other words, if a person passes away with no children, his mother and her side of the family don't inherit him at all. It's only his father and the father's side of the family, bebechinas hecha demid lemine, which means above, a level above, sha'al yodam hatikun. It's in the upper level, it's by the male that the tikkun is. The main tikkun is on the male. And I've heard this said many times, in most cases, related to shalom bayis. The 9 trillion men who are running around complaining about how terrible their wife is, in 99.9% of cases, he should know that she's just a crumb of him. He's 99% of the action is from him, and 99% of the problems are all based on his ave. It's reflected in her. His pigamim, or his shortcomings, will be reflected in her. But if a person sees he's having problems with his wife, usually, in most cases, he's being told, you're not sholem. Otherwise, if you were sholem, your shlemus would be reflected in her. Your lack of shlemus, she's simply a reflection. She's a mirror. She's showing you your chesroinus or your milus. That kind of thing, in the vast majority of cases. This is why we have one of the most outstanding events in the Torah, where the Gemara says there was a man called Slavchod who didn't have any sons, he only had 5 daughters, and when Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the laws of inheritance, these 5 showed up and said, what about us? This is why the daughters of Slavchod said, Im onu chashuvoi zera, if we are to be considered children, tnol onu nachla, then you must give us inheritance. If we're children, then we're supposed to get some of the inheritance. Ve'ilav, and if you're saying that we are considered non-entities, we are non-children, tisyabe mimenu, then our mother should be obligated to do yipum, should be obligated to marry our father's brother. Kiho beho talia. Because these two things are very much connected to each other. The inheritance issue and the yipum issue. Me'achar shechashuvois zera lifter menayipum. Because if a daughter qualifies enough to be considered a child, that when parents have a daughter, the mother does not have to go through the yibum process, ki ein nishmosay artaloy legamri, because it means that the father who passed away, his neshama is not naked completely, but rather he has some degree of clothing as a result of bringing a daughter into the world. Ki hayibum hulesakein nefesh hameis do'ozlis artiloi kiyadua. Because the Zohar HaKadosh and Arizal explain that the reason for yibum is when a man passes away without having any children, in a sense his neshama leaves the world without clothing at all. And he requires this yibum process when his brother marries his wife and thereby brings children into the world, that dresses his neshama, that provides clothing for his neshama. So therefore, once we're saying that having a daughter also releases mommy from yibum, nimtza shehem gamkein bebechinas tikkun halavushin. Then the implication is that they're also affecting this clothing for their father. V'alkein roi lohem hayerusha kanal. Therefore, they do deserve to get Yerusha when there's no sons around. Ki hayerusha hi shayches lezaroi shehem bebechinas tikkun halavushim kanal. Because inheritance is appropriate to the children that are considered clothing. As we learned in the beginning, the main emphasis was that the concept of Yerusha was to help clothe the nesham of the one that passed away. That when a father is privileged to pass on possessions to his sons, that's part of the process of the father providing clothing for his neshama with which to be able to go on to Gan Eden.
What is this concept of the daughter qualifies enough to be a child? I'm not sure I understand that.
We're saying that the law is that if a father passes away without any children, the law is his wife has to, has a brother on earth, then his brother is supposed to marry the brother's wife that passed away.
So this person qualifying meaning that she's old enough to marry him?
No. What I mean is that if the fact that we say that this includes daughters also, that if a person passed away and had a daughter, then his wife does not have to go through Yibum. So we see that having a daughter does qualify, she is registered as a child to the extent that she does participate to some degree in the tikkun of this levushin. However, to a much lesser degree than the son.